Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Ross. Today we're joined by Rowan County Judge Executive, Dr. Walter Blevins. Doc, thanks for coming over. Appreciate your time today, as always.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, one thing we always like to talk about first of all, or at least we do talk about first of all.
I'll never guess.
is the jail project. And obviously, if you drive by there now, you can see the building is really taking shape.
It really is. It's going to be a beautiful facility. I just wish it was something besides jail, but we have to have jails. We've got people that don't obey the law, and you have to have a place to hold them and make sure they hopefully get some corrective action.
At this point right now, what are they focusing most of their efforts on in terms of the work?
Oh, of course. The building, as far as most of the concrete and everything's been put in, they're working on the ventilation and air ducts and heating ducts, just a lot of those types of things right now. There were, as we'll get into them, we had a few change orders. Tell everybody what they do. I mean, again, we're still pretty low compared to as big a project as this is. The first one was for $4,680.90. That was add 85 linear feet of gypsum board bulkheads at the booking steel beams. What that basically does is just it's a small oversight. It's not a lot of money again, but it was more to make sure the building would be intact and keep some of the make it a more secure facility. The other one was $406, was to add the VCT and base in room in the public side of the non-contact visit room. Just an oversight. They think they'd be good to have one. we had one here. If I can find it here now. Yeah, it was
There's so many of them sometimes.
Let's do,
I guess it's
yeah,
tough to keep track of them.
Several of them. This one's a good one. We actually got $1,797.93 we got back as a credit, which is not going to cost us. We actually get a little credit. Basically, they decided to delete some of the drywall soffits in the third laundry room as follows. So we get a credit there of about almost $1,800. Then we had the big one, We all actually went down to the jail facility yesterday. Most of the court was there. I think all the court was there, I think. We had our county attorney was there. And we had the newspaper followed us around as well. Got to see a chance to look at the facility. It's a big facility, that's for sure. But now, this was a pretty big chunk of change, but it was $42,540. And what it's because of all the moisture we had, there's an effervescence. The moisture in the bricks and the blocks that you're putting up tends to go toward the outside of the block, and it puts like a white looking effervescence. They call it. It's like a salts and stuff. And if you tried, you could maybe paint over it the way they initially planned to do. It probably would last a couple of years as long as our warranty is, but if in maybe 7, 8, 10 years down the road, we'd probably see a lot of peeling of the paint. So this is another. We went through the people who had the contract prior. They looked for solutions and they came up with a different type of painting solution. So it's another coat of paint that we have to put on to kind of seal out the effervescence. And they're trying to dry the place out. There's a lot of I think how many dehumidifiers. They've got fans in there. They're trying to go as fast as they can. But we're probably looking at the end of February before we actually get in the facility.
How many square feet, again, is the facility, roughly?
Man, I'm not sure. It's I should
I'm
have
guessing
that.
It's at least a couple of hundred anyway, right?
Yeah. It's more than a couple of hundred. It's a fairly large facility. Again, it's going to be able to hold over probably 350, maybe even more people in an overcrowded situation. I think it's for 275, 285, somewhere in that range as far as the size. Of course, you've got a kitchen area. You've got the office area. You've got as part of the area for work release. There's some SEG units. There's some 24-hour units where if somebody's on a suicide watch, there's a few of those places as well. It's a kind of a city, and it's a large facility. It's going to hopefully bring more prisoners to the community and hopefully be able to make it less. I don't think we're going to get away from the taxpayers helping subsidize this over the period of the years, but it'll be less than what we're subsidizing now.
The one thing I was going to ask you about this change with the paint ceiling is that you mentioned $42,000, but because this will maybe take care of some of those moisture issues that you discussed, if possibly in the long run it might save some money.
Well, that's what we're looking at, and if it's done correctly, maybe the paint may last hopefully 15, 20 years if we've just taken well care of and we maintain it. If we hadn't had the $42,000 to this, it might start peeling within a year or two. And they seem to think that it may not. They've got a 2-year warranty on their work that they do, and they're concerned. They thought that they could probably not even bring the issue up, go ahead and do it, and 2 years down the road we might start seeing some peeling. And after the warranty's out, they didn't want to do us that way, and they decided to bring this change order, and we agreed to it.
Well, if you were to walk into the interior, which you've done and I've not, and most people haven't, how would it look? How much finished do you think it is?
Oh, it's still got a lot of work to do. I mean, they've got to do a lot of painting. As far as the walls, the doors got to be put in. Some of the glass windows have to be put in. Of course, the kitchens, freezers and fryers and stoves, those types of things aren't in there. It's going to take a little while longer, but they're moving quite rapidly, and hopefully by end of February we'll maybe have a grand opening, have a chance for people to come in, at least maybe get a chance to look at it.
You mentioned something interesting. You talked about it could hold up to 350 people if it had to in an overcrowding situation.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the idea that most likely it's going to have a lot of the cells filled by the time you enter it in late February. Do you anticipate possibly having to deal with an overcrowding problem maybe somewhere not too far down the road?
I think we will, because there's a big demand for spots right now. I think the jail over here is the current jail. It's supposed to house about 78 people, and there's about 140 people in there right now. 10 of those people basically were women that came from up in Boyd County where they had the riot. And just sometimes you have to put them in there because you have no place else to put them. And so we took 10 of those people, and that put us up to about 140 people. Even that's way too many people than what we got in that facility. But yeah, I think you look around the state, most every facility is over capacity. And our prisons are over capacity, so we're going to have to build some more or come up with some other solutions.
So they're going to be looking at Rowan County and saying there's a place we might be able to solve some
of our
problems with.
I think that place will be filled up in 2 or 3 months. I really do. I think there's such a crowding right now in most facilities. I think they'll be looking for this place to add some relief.
I want to ask you about something I saw, and this is actually a story I did out of Maysville, and recently here, the city said that they're, I guess, joining the Kentucky League of Cities and the Kentucky Association of Counties and asking perhaps that the county employees' retirement system be removed from the Kentucky retirement system, because they said, well, you know what, it's 62% funded now. If we removed it, it could be 100%. It could be a solvent retirement system. Just kind of what are your thoughts about that just off the bat?
I think it makes some sense to do that. Again, it's better funded than the teacher's retirement, better funded than the Kentucky retirement system. It would allow us to focus more on those two systems. They pretty much are the county employment system, CERS, is, again, not funded at the levels you'd like to see it, but it's so much better than the other two. I think it would, and the cities have been paying, the counties and those types of groups have been paying their ARC, the actual revenue that's needed to fund the system. So I think we've shown that the counties could do the job. There's some bills floating around, or several senators and representatives that believe that's a good idea. Hopefully it'll have a chance to come to the floors of both the House and Senate and be voted on. I'm not sure the governor how he feels on this at present time. He could veto it. But, again, if you've got a majority vote, you can override the governor if you do a constitutional majority.
I had a chance to talk with Matt Wallingford, the city manager up in Maysville, about this, and he told me, he said, he doesn't expect it to get through the legislature because he said right now the CERS is pretty much propping up the rest of the state pension systems.
I'd say that's probably true. But again, I think some of the things that the governor wants to do, I hate to put everybody in jeopardy when he's trying to fix this system. And again, the CERS, the county retirement system, is much better funded, probably two or three times better funded than what the teachers' retirement and the KRS are. So I think it makes sense for the if you're in a county employee at present or have been, I think it makes a lot of sense to those groups to say, hey, we'll be able to weather this storm and we'll have a decent retirement for our people.
And the other part about this is that the group that's been looking at the retirement systems has said one of the suggestions that they've made is to raise the contributions of cities and counties to the retirement system by quite a bit when you talk about regular workers or hazardous duty employees. So it could wind up costing, say, Rowan County or the city of Moorhead hundreds of thousands of dollars more for their employee pension contributions.
Figures I've heard are about over $400,000 that would be an increase to us. I think the president of the university told me it would be about $4 million for his facility here for MSU. Those are unbudgeted costs. It's going to be difficult to find those kinds of dollars. And, again, I think it's another good reason a lot of us would like to see CERS removed from the system.
We've talked about the fact that after the new jail is paid off, maybe the county looks at doing some things to spend on, say, recreation or other issues or other services that the residents might need. But at the same time, with all this pension stuff going on the way it is, I guess you have to kind of put that on hold, don't you?
Not going to be many dollars available for anything other than just trying to pay the pensions. And, again, that's where I think CERS would be much better served if it didn't have to deal with the other two retirement systems.
Yeah, it's kind of a scary time for
– It's a tough time, but, again, I think that the General Assembly, there is constitution and statutes that say they have to follow what they've promised, that they have to deliver. And that means that they may have to go out here and raise revenue. They may have to go out here and have casino gaming to pay for this. And if worse comes to worse, somebody's going to probably sue the state and force them and force the General Assembly to do what they're supposed to be doing, that's pay those pensions.
Understand a couple of Democratic lawmakers, when you talk about gaming, have put forward the idea to get casino gaming at least on track to be passed here in the state. I know there's a constitutional amendment that has to go on with that. But what do you think the chances are of maybe it getting through?
I think the chances are much better than they have been because I think we're in a desperate situation on the pensions. And I think that you've got to look at every area of government that you can raise revenue because these are big ticket items and we're going to have to find the dollars. I know several other states have done casino gaming. I don't know if it's going to bring in the kind of dollars that it could have brought in 10, 15 years ago when there wasn't casino gaming around us. It'd be much tougher. You have seen some of those, including, I guess, the president's own casino up in New Jersey went under. So, I mean, it's not always a win-win, but usually the state would gather some dollars and would help in some areas.
Well, when you talk about the state's limited as to the way it can raise revenue, basically the way they do it is through tax increases, and those would seem to be off the table.
Well, they shouldn't be off the table because, again, you know, you're elected to go down there and deal with the problems of the state. And sometimes dealing with the problems of the state, just like we did when we had CARA, there was a court case against us at the time that we were not funding schools equally. I think there may be another suit down the road that we're still not funding schools equally around the state, that we're not seeing the same education in some counties as we are in others. There was a lawsuit brought by the superintendents mainly in this region in eastern Kentucky, but throughout the state, but mainly in eastern Kentucky, that said they weren't getting properly funded. They took that to the court. The court said that the General Assembly had to do it. They had to go and fund our education levels at equal levels. And they raised the biggest tax increase. I was there at that time and voted for it because it was the right thing to do because if you don't fund education, you're going to pay for it in the long run. And we forced the General Assembly. I think the same thing could happen. I think there would be a court case probably that will force the General Assembly, if they don't act and solve the problem, to raise the funds to pay these pensions.
Again, our guest today on Front Page is Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more right after this.
There's a lot happening in our community, and you can stay connected with community events by visiting our website at wmky.org. Click on Community Events at the top of the page for a listing of community events. Help promote your event by completing the simple online form. Visit Morehead State Public Radio online at wmky.org and stay connected with your community.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. Again, we're joined by Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Meraz, and Judge Blevins, as we continue our discussion, I know that you dealt with some tax rate certifications during this last meeting.
Actually, we didn't. Every group took a compensating rate, which means they lowered the taxes a small amount, but they did lower, and they didn't go up on your property tax, on your motor vehicle tax, and your intangible taxes. All of them basically saw a small reduction or stayed the same, and we went ahead and accepted their recommendations, and those have will be the new tax rates for the people in the Commonwealth, people in here in Round County.
So the good news is it went down a bit.
It went down a little bit or stayed the same. It did not raise the property taxes or the tax on your vehicles by any agency in Round County, including the the education board, the health board of health, and the public library boards. All those people maintained or used the compensating rate. Part of the reason for that is because there was a fairly large new assessment of property in the city and parts of the county that increased the amount of money that's going to come into the tax coffers. And because of that, they can actually lower. You basically get the same money, but with a lower rate.
On the meeting agenda, I saw that Dr. J. Morgan, Morehead State's new president, was listed. Did he make a presentation or talk?
Yeah, we were talking. We've got some things that we're trying to negotiate. We've not come to any agreement on. You can't really divulge those kinds of things, but we are talking and trying to help each other, and we hope that we'll come to some agreement in the near future.
Have you had many discussions with Dr. Morgan yet?
Yeah, I've had several. I mean, he's very easy to talk to, very accessible so far to me. I've enjoyed meeting him and his lovely family, and I think he's appears to be the right man for the job. He's really got a tough time, though, with the cuts in that have occurred over the past 10 years or longer in higher ed. He's got less money to deal with, and at the same time, I think he was telling us that they're projecting another 17-18% cut, not in this year's budget under these cuts that they're making. Higher education was left out of that, thank goodness. But it really puts a lot of pressure on these other groups. But I think he's saying that the issue he's hearing from Frankfort, the government officials down there, the budget people, that next year we're looking at another 17-18% cut. So somehow somebody's got to find the dollars to continue this good thing we have here in Kentucky, our higher education system and education in general.
I was going to ask you, I know his predecessor, Dr. Wayne Andrews, was very interested in seeing possibly a new recreation park built at the old Sunnybrook golf course that MSU, they own the property still, the golf course is gone. Have you broached that subject at all with Dr. Morgan?
We've talked about Sunnybrook. We're still, again, looking at that facility, that piece of property. It's got some great positive things about it, but it also has a few negative things. It doesn't have a good access to the property. That we got a bridge that's an older bridge, a very narrow bridge. It would not work probably for a recreation facility because it'd be one-way traffic, or you'd have to almost have a there's only one way to get across it and one way to get out of it without. So it'd have to take quite a bit of dollars to get it up to standards where you could use it. I know it when Rocky, our Representative Adkins, was in the majority. He was working on that. I think he had some things worked out that we were going to be able to maybe get a widening of the road out there and also at the same time maybe add a new bridge to that facility. And, of course, those things have kind of dropped away with the loss of Rocky going to the minority leadership and not the majority. And that makes it tough because without those kinds of things, it makes that property less valuable to us.
Do you think with all the budget cuts that MSU may be facing here in another year or so that perhaps that use of Sunnybrook for a recreation area maybe, I guess, put on hold for even longer or push back?
I know with the problems that the president has, I think he's going to have to get rid of some of these properties, and he may just have to have public auctions. And of course, we'd hate to see that. We'd like to be able to maintain that property, because you can't find that kind of property everywhere in Round County that's out of the floodplain, that has that type of water. It still needs sewer, but the roads, it still needs quite a bit, $2 or $3 million worth of work on just the roads out there to make it a feasible project. So he may have to, and I understand, you know, you got to make tough decisions in tough times, and that may be one of the decisions him and the board might have to make, that may have to just put that up for auction or put it on the market for sale.
Could you foresee a situation where perhaps the city and the county and maybe even tourism get together to buy that property?
I think that could happen. There's no question. I think all three of us groups would like to maintain that property for recreation. We think it's, again, we've been on working on that for probably 10 or 12 years now, looking at it, trying to bring some dollars so that we could build a nice facility out there for recreation. I know under President Andrews, he was willing to give us the property if we would show him that we were willing to go in debt, spend bonding and that type of thing, and he would have given us the property because he thought it was a good idea. He think it would help the university to have those kind of facilities as well. We at the time, the city and the county, we had so many other things going on with us trying to build the jail, the city trying to build a police station, and those kinds of, and fire departments. Sometimes that has to go down the list as far as priorities, and it'd be tough right now, especially with these pension things. It's going to be tough on the city and the county to come up with any kind of dollars to make that a reality right now.
Any news on the local economic development front?
Well, I keep hearing good things. I think there'll be some announcement here, and hopefully in the next few days or weeks, we'll hear some good news about maybe somebody coming out to maybe the industrial park or maybe somewhere else in the community. I know Bob's working really hard. We hired a good person. He knows the people and knows how to deal with them. I'm hoping that we'll hear something in the near future. That's one of the things you love to do when you're a county official or a state official is to see new jobs and new opportunities come to your community. I think that's going to happen.
Well, obviously, one thing that will happen here in the very near future, probably by December or early January, is MCTC Round, Maysville Community and Technical College, the Round campus, their new center out there at the industrial park will open.
That's going to be a real catalyst to attract industry. When you put that type of facility next to an industrial park with 300 acres of developed land ready to move, that has to be something that people are going to look at and say, hey, well, this is where we need to be. We can train our people right next door. You've got great facilities, good utilities. Again, broadband is the other thing I think this community needs. And, of course, the mayor and myself, we've both been attending meetings trying to find a way to bring broadband. Of course, the Kentucky is doing Kentucky Wired. They're going to have – we've got to find the money for the last mile. Again, that's another – costly project.
How much?
Oh, I don't know. There's several ways. I think you're looking at probably $10 or $12 million probably to do the county. That is if you're doing completely just wired. If you go with radios, wireless type of technology, which you can get pretty good speeds with that nowadays. I think that's another way. You can probably do it for $1 million, $2 million. It makes a lot more sense to maybe do that. But again, a lot of people really want that wire. They want that secure wire, not having things, all the information out there on a wireless mode. So that's something we're going to have to look at, see if we can find the dollars to do that. We hope that Frankfort and Washington someday will help us find that final mile.
And from a business development standpoint, it's critical.
If you don't have it, you're not going to be looked at. They're going to just mark you off the list, and you're not even going to chance to even show what you do have here. So we have to have it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you also talked about maybe buying some more of that, what they call black fiber
cable.
Well,
I think the mayor has already decided, I think he's already put an order in, so there's money. He's going to use his Morehead Utility Plant Board, I think, and use it as a utility. But again, we're trying to get that black fiber, the many more strands that probably may not need it right now, but it could be a real gem to us down the road to attract industry to this area to say that we've got this kind of fiber available to you if you need it.
Doc, as always, it's gone quickly, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, very quickly. Good luck on your test today. Thanks. Hopefully everything will be good.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Again, our guest today on Front Page is Dr. Walter Blevins, Judge Executive for Rowan County. I'm Chuck Mraz, host of the program. We will see you next time.